The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Rumpa-pum-pum, it's Sixers Talk. Coming your way, Danny Pommels and Paul Hudrick back together again, baby.
I miss you, bud.
Soak it in.
I miss you.
The chemistry is just so natural, bro. I feel like good discussion is on the way. And we appreciate you tuning in, checking us out, and subscribing. I had a friend of mine who watches exclusively on YouTube. So Dan from Delco, shout out. Appreciate you. Hey, wherever you're listening, we appreciate you subscribing to NBC Sports Philadelphia, wherever you get your podcast. The comments, thoughts, suggestions, perspectives. I see good things out there, and I'm just flattered, appreciative. People think this is a good podcast. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's crazy. Who'd have thought?
It's kind of crazy.
Who'd have thought?
It's kind of crazy.
Like the Paul Rudd gif.
Right, right.
Who'd have thought we'd be here?
Not me. But, thank you. Just a thank you. We are. I'm going to see Ralph Tresvant in Atlantic City this weekend. Okay. A little sensitivity. So looking forward to that. Me and the missus. Put your eyebrows down, Ben Barry. Okay. What? This guy, man. You know what, man? The way you ate that pretzel. I didn't say anything about how you devoured that pretzel in 2.2 seconds.
It actually made me really hungry. I saw him eating it. I got to admit.
Crushed it. I really no mustard, no nothing.
There's more pretzels? I might.
All right, yeah. Pretzels after this. But storylines abound. We are back to playing basketball soon. Did you make anything of the All-Star game camaraderie that we saw with Joel and Ben as it pertains to everyone else saying, oh, these guys can't play together? Do they think suddenly I feel like they went the opposite way, like on purpose, just to show how together they were?
Well, here's how it is for me. If everyone's going to make a big deal about them not necessarily getting along and the pot shots at each other, passive aggressive stuff, then you got to make a big
deal. Which have been well documented on
yes.
this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Then you got to make a big deal when it's the other way, don't you? I mean, you got to be fair.
I'm asking you. What do you think?
That's how I'm looking at it. We got to be fair and impartial. So if we're going to kill them for not looking like...
My God, level-headed Paul has returned. He is back, baby.
But it's true.
The level-headed one.
If you're going to crush them for when they aren't showing the camaraderie, when they're not showing that chemistry, when it looks like they're not a good fit on the court, and when they're taking shots at each other off of it, when they get asked and Joel Embiid says, no, that's BS. Or when they're calling each other my brother, and when Ben's digging a big old
Joel
smack on
the
behind
yeah.
in the middle of the game. I love Joel's Instagram, by the way. Did you see what he said after that?
Yeah, he's like,
he said,
bro,
someone's about to catch hands.
I was about to turn around and destroy somebody. But.
That's so good. But yeah, so for me, if we're going to all sit here, we've dedicated entire podcasts to talking about them not being a good fit, them not getting along. So when they're doing this at All-Star Weekend and vehemently saying, nah, like, we're great. Like, I love this guy. I love playing with this guy. If they're going to be like that, we have to make a big deal out of that, too.
So I guess we need to make a big deal about it then, because that's what we got, particularly with, you know, I shouldn't say, you know, because not everyone has been at one of those All-Star game scrums when you're, like, 14 people deep trying to ask questions. I went to one of those with Barry Bonds in San Francisco at the All-Star game. It's just national media, international media, the local media. Like, I was on, like, a little rafter. I was, like, a little further, you know, closer.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah, right. But so at those little – sometimes there's no one, you know, sometimes maybe for the lesser All-Stars, there's no one there asking questions, maybe just one or two people. But obviously Ben and Joel are going to garner a lot of attention. Jimmy Butler – also chiming in saying, you know, they're having their own issues. I have nothing to do with that. And I hope that they continue to have issues for our sake, that so that when they, if we play them, that they implode, basically.
I don't think – I think everyone would prefer the Sixers to have issues, because if they wind up being like a 4 or 5 seed, they're going to be a pretty dangerous 4 or 5
seed.
I mean, it's not an advantageous position they put themselves in if that's what winds up happening.
Right.
But if they are that, I think we'd all agree that they're pretty dangerous as a 4 or 5.
Because if the playoffs started today, it would be Miami Sixers in a first-round matchup, which is perilous, to say the least.
I think it's just as perilous for the Miami Heat, though,
too. Okay. I'm listening.
I think the Miami Heat would prefer to play the Indiana Pacers, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And obviously, the Sixers have gone. They should have won in Miami earlier this season.
Yes.
They ended up losing in overtime and got awful down the stretch. I mean, it was just they were up like 10 points or something like that.
They were Joel Embiid passing the ball to Trey Burke on the other side a quarter away from winning that game.
Right. So. Here we are pulling into the second half, or 28 games to go here. I guess if this is
27.
Well, 27 games. If we're chopping it into thirds, then
yeah.
This is the last third. Yeah. This is the last third. So
it's a sprint.
All right. So the metal will be tested here coming out of the break. 6 of the next 9, is it, on the road?
Yeah. But it is fair to point out that, and these are not my, this is not my math because I'm not that good at math. According to Tankathon, if anyone's not familiar with that, the Sixers actually have the second softest schedule in the NBA for the rest of the season. And that is compared to they had the third toughest up to now.
Hey, bro.
So there is that. I get 6 of the next 9 on the road. They have not been good on the road. They've lost to teams they should have beaten on the road. I get all that. But I think it's just also fair to point out. And I think also, so Toronto and Boston, I could be mistaken on this, but I'm pretty sure had the 5th and 6th easiest schedules, and now they have the 11th and 12th toughest in the last 27 games.
So
these things are all factors. I mean, again, the Sixers, it all comes down to them taking care of business and doing what they need to do. But things are lining up for them where there are – so let's put it this way. All the excuses that maybe we've made for them for the first however many games so far, the first 55 games, they are going to be gone now. These last 27 games – barring an injury, a serious injury, the excuses are gone. Like, this is it. They need to be the team that they expected to be now over these last 27 games.
So that makes me think about something. I've been giving you credit, bro, because people have been asking me about, you know, thoughts. I've been doing a couple things while you were out, and, you know, appearances on the radio and some TV. I did the Daily Line, whatnot.
Big deal. I know.
No, but
I know.
I'm just saying,
Danny,
I've been trumpeting your name. I've been trumpeting your name in that by saying my podcast partner Paul Hudrick has continued to point out that the Sixers haven't had that run that Toronto has had, Milwaukee has had, that string of games. So, with the Tankathon information, with the fact that that hasn't happened yet, with the camaraderie with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, hopefully they're bringing it back to the team. The 6 of 9 on the road, that the stretch, the run has to start soon.
Yeah.
So are you
start now? Has to start tomorrow.
Are you feeling that? Are you feeling that suddenly they're about to rattle off a bunch of games?
All right, I'm gonna. You know what?
I know you said it hasn't happened.
But
you feel like this now is the time?
Yeah. So in lieu of, I'm not gonna be level headed with this. I'm gonna say yes. I think they are gonna go on a run.
This guy considers saying that they're going to go on a run, not going out on a limb.
Well, it is. What's going out on a limb? What evidence have they shown that they should
be
going
out on a run? Well, you just said that they had a third easiest schedule.
Listen, but that's what it is. So it's all these factors. It's that. It's the schedule. It's I watched that Clippers game that they played. That was the best basketball I've seen Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons play together.
26 and 26, respectively.
The best they've played together against a good team. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons playing against Kawhi Leonard, who is always given Ben nightmares over the years, and he put up a triple-double against them. They ran that
Kawhi
snug.
Kawhi 31, I think.
He had 5 in the fourth quarter, though, Danny.
Okay. I'm just saying. I just mentioned it.
He's also might be the best player in the entire NBA. So, like,
oh, you mean All-Star Game MVP? Knocked the Gatorade off the counter, Kawhi?
Yes.
Off the podium?
Freaking Kawhi Leonard. I mean,
yeah.
So I'm not going to get upset over Ben Simmons allowing him to score 30 points and only holding him to 5 points in the fourth quarter of a very close game, mind you. But those two together offensively, Joe and Ben, I asked Brett about that today, running that snug pick-and-roll action. They ran it the most they've ever run it, the most I've ever seen it. He said, according to Brett, it was 8 or 9 times. And we've seen in the past, it doesn't really work. It hasn't really worked the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked because Brett said it was, again, hey, let's give Brett Brown a little credit because he saw something he thought could work in small doses. It hasn't. Against the Clippers, it did because he stuck with it and he said, all right, this is the best way I can use you both and to get you both working together. And I think because of that, they're looking for each other more and they're playing off each other more even when they're not in that action. So that's my first thing of why I'm very encouraged about the last 27 games. The schedule is another big part of it. Another big part of it, the starting lineup change, getting Al Horford away from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Brilliant. Yes, do that. Brett said it today. He has no inclination of changing off of that. That's the way it needs to be. I want to, for me, I want Glenn Robinson III to be the fifth starter. I think what he provides defensively, the way you can switch with Ben, with Josh, and with him around the perimeter, those three guys just switching on everything, I love that idea. Run with it. He's shooting just a tick below 40% from three. I love Korkmaz off the bench right now. I love Alec Burks off the bench. Matisse giving you defense. That's what I'm running with off my bench. So that's the last thing is those two guys. You've only had Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson for a game together. So I want to see what that's going to look like when I'm bringing in Alec Burks off the bench for instant offense. So for all those reasons, I am optimistic that they will be making a run.
Oh, you make fans want to fall in love again, Paul. You make them want to fall in love again because we have weathered the storm is what I hear you saying. That the first, two-thirds. Well, you said the first two-thirds, right. They had one of the toughest schedules, and here we are settling into the last 20-something games, and they're headed toward possibly stringing some wins together, making a push up the standings. So optimism is the order of the day so far.
Should be. Hope springs eternal, Danny.
Great camaraderie leads to great segues. Any other thoughts or perspectives from the Sixers' first practice back after the All-Star break at the practice facility in Camden?
It's just interesting the way Brett talked about the rotation and what he plans to do. Talked about the idea of using Alec Burks as a backup point guard, incorporating him in, he said, middle pick and rolls as opposed to silent pick and rolls. A lot of that with Ben, as we've discussed many, many times, Ben being used more as a screener and a roller in the half-court offense. So expect Alec Burks, in addition to Josh Richardson, to be one of the guys who he does that with. Also mentioned Furkan Korkmaz as being a guy that they could do that with as well.
Alec Burks can get a bucket, so that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
And let's be real, that's what this team has needed, is sorely needed.
And who's
at
the screener?
Points. It's going to be Ben.
Ben.
So Ben will be the screener and roller. Alec Burks running the middle pick and roll. I like it. And I thought they already showed a little instant chemistry in the Clippers game. It was only a couple times they ran it, but they looked good doing it.
But Ben going downhill, coming off, rolling off a screen, forget about it.
Yeah. And Alec Burks is a decent passer. He's not like an elite passer. He's not a point guard. He's not a traditional point guard in any sense. But he's not just, as Brett Brown would say, a pig scorer. Like, he's not just going to get tunnel vision and only look for his. He's going to find guys off that pick and roll. So he'll see Ben roll into the basket.
The pig scorer.
I know. It's great.
Gunner. Would you consider yourself a gunner on the basketball court?
I was the opposite, man. What? I was a team first guy, man.
Assist. Yeah, team first. Sacrifice.
I was defense. Defense, you know.
You're a hack. If I hear people say that they trumpet defense, they're a hack.
Nah, I play defense.
I'm trying to get pickup truck Chuck Steve Graham out there. He's going to come hoop with us next week.
Nice.
I know, right? Driving the pickup truck up. I actually took a video of him leaving the other day, getting into the pickup truck. Bro, he had on this plaid shirt.
Nah.
Bro, I have no shame. No shame, bro. So, it just was a little too blurry, and I couldn't spread. I was going to send it to you guys, but it was a little too blurry.
I got to delete this from HR now.
Pickup truck Chuck Steve Graham. Take a sip, buddy. You earned it. All right. you Paul, you're so funny. Glad we are back together. It's feeling good. Other thoughts and concerns and perspectives that you feel like are going into here in the second half? I haven't heard you mention Mike Scott. Is he?
He's the odd man out to me.
Yeah.
I think Brett's going to stick with 10. We saw, I mean, Mike Scott played 5 minutes against the Clippers.
Yep. There was a Mike Scott high party over the All-Star break.
He's still
break
a hell of a guy. He's still a nice guy. He's still fun. Still a good personality.
But he has played his way out of this lineup.
It's not a – listen, having Mike Scott –
plenty of opportunities, though.
Having him as your 10th man, that's not bad. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a bad guy to have as, like, just a 10th guy. It's like a guy who, if something does go wrong or you have an injury or whatever, to have a guy like Mike Scott who's got experience, who can get hot, it's not a bad guy to have.
Oh, the Mike Scott game. Maybe it's coming.
Maybe. We've all seen it. There are games where he'll just hit absolutely. 5 threes. Like, it just happens.
He shoots a pretty three. It's a nice arc to it.
The shot is not – I mean, it's been off this year. But but in general, when he's hot, man, he can get real hot in a hurry.
With all this optimism pouring out of our mouths, the Sixers' odds in the Eastern Conference – a smile jumped across your face. the Sixers' odds in the Eastern Conference have fallen from 2-1 to 5-1. Ugh.
Well, that's what happens when you don't win games. I mean, they haven't been – they for the first 2/3 of the season, they haven't been good.
I just heard you say all these things are in their favor.
Yeah, so maybe put some money down then. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, some shekels.
No, don't put money down.
Some shekels.
Don't listen to me.
What?
I don't gamble.
Oh, the level-headed one. He was topsy-turvy there for a minute. We caught him off his square.
Well, listen, I don't gamble. It's just not my bag. So don't listen to me because I have no idea what I'm
some
talking
shekels.
About.
Some shekels. 5-1.
No, but of course, I mean.
To win the Eastern Conference.
Of course, the number, it's got to go down.
Ooh.
Right now, they're in fifth place.
$100 get you 500.
Yeah, I'm not putting that. I mean, maybe like $10 to get Hold 50.
Up. I see four people in this room. 25 each.
What? I don't think Ben's
Talk
feeling
to me.
That.
I
Steve.
See smiles from Pickup Truck Chuck. Ben Barry, reserved.
I'm a gambler.
You don't have a microphone. We can't hear what you're saying.
All
right.
Unfortunately, I have to hear what you're saying.
25. No, I'm not relaying your insults. 25 each. I think we got a. This sounds like a plan to me. Yes. Yes.
No.
Oh my gosh. I'm putting my own money down. Apparently.
Yeah, you do that.
but what is it though? You feel like it's just reality creeping in? Vegas always knows something.
If you're judging by what you've seen so far this season. Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, of
all
course,
right.
Those other teams have to be ahead of them right now. Like, why? Toronto just ripped off what? Like,
you just
I don't
poured
know, like 20
all
freaking
you
games
poured
in a row.
All this optimistic juice
because
all
that
over
is my,
me.
That and is I'm my opinion.
I'm bathed in optimism.
It is my opinion. It is not shared by Vegas.
All right. You know what was a little troubling that I've seen, and I feel like, you know, the optimism. You know, we talked about that. The odds are falling. We just mentioned that. If they don't win this year, I see a slim reaper in the distance.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, man.
You see not going to get any worse.
Ooh,
yeah.
You seen that workout video?
Yeah.
It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, no, but he's still.
I have mentioned it
he's got a,
on previous podcasts.
He's got,
but
he's got a bicket, though. That's what I noticed, too, in that shootout. He's got a bicket head.
Oh, yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not doing that.
Got just that patch,
bro. LeBron is the poster child of that.
I know, but just to me, I don't know. If the battle's lost, the battle's lost.
Yeah, well, you know, I fired my hair before it quit on me.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
Record.
That's what I'm saying. I know that's, and yeah. You look great.
So thanks, bro.
So why not? Like they should just embrace it.
I don't know.
I think ball is beautiful. Dang.
You know what, bro? When you make $30 million
yeah,
a year,
matter, sure.
You kind of like
do whatever the hell you want.
Do whatever I want. Right?
Sure.
but. The window of opportunity is not going to get any larger for the 76ers, pending some type of move that changes the roster dynamic. Another superstar, somebody comes into the fold. I just look at the opportunity this season. If they're not able to make a deep run or win the Eastern Conference, get into the East, win the Eastern Conference. If they can't win the Eastern Conference, then it just gives me the feeling that with Kevin Durant coming back next year, who knows what will happen, you know, as far as free agency movement and things like that and teams that might team up. You got names being thrown around, you know, that you never thought might be together and whatnot. Do you feel like the way I feel, that there's a chance that the Sixers are missing the opportunity here?
Well, this is good. Yeah, I mean, it's – my feeling is every year's – yeah, you know what I mean? Every year, any year you have a chance is an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and this was coming in. This was a good, like this the roster, the talent that they had. It made sense. It made sense for them to, you know, and to your point with the East, like this year, I will say this: none of us expected these other teams to be as good. I mean, Milwaukee's Milwaukee.
I don't think anyone thought that.
Yeah, Milwaukee's Milwaukee. Everyone expected them to be really good.
Milwaukee's
again.
On pace to win 70 games.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's be. I didn't expect them to win 70 games, but I expected them to be really good and maybe win 60. But no one expected this from Miami. No one expected this from Boston. No one expected this from
Indiana.
Indiana's probably about where we thought it'd succeed. Toronto without Kawhi.
Oladipo's coming back.
Yeah. Oh, he's
getting
back.
Healthier. He's but getting he's getting healthier. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But no, I'm saying no one expected the East to be as good as it is right now. I think that's fair. I think no one expected it to be as good. So I think that's part of also what the Sixers are dealing with. And that's not an excuse. It's just the reality is the East isn't as good, and that's why them kind of, let's just say, like them taking nights off and like not playing, you know, and again, dropping two games in Orlando against a not good Orlando Magic team. When you drop games like that, that other teams in the East aren't dropping, that's a problem.
We had Anthony Gilbert from Hoop Mag on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He made a point I thought that I'd like to hear your perspective. And so did Todd Johnson filling in for you as well. He made some great points. But, you know, just when you look at the Sixers organization as a whole, you know, they haven't had the veteran leadership. Joel and Ben have come into what they've come into, and they're the faces and the most important pieces of this organization. Where, like, you know, you have Jimmy Butler, because I'm really talking about the fact that you thought Miami wouldn't be as good. Well, sure. We I'm sorry, I'm not putting you out on the island,
I mean,
but
no one.
No one thought Miami would be as good. But
say what you, it's okay, Ben, sure.
But the culture, I think,
not this good, Ben. Like, we all thought they would be pretty good, but not this good.
I said they would be the second best team when I first.
But they're not the second best team.
But they're not the second best team.
They're
right
the fourth
now,
best
they're the
team.
Fourth best team. And the Sixers are only two games behind them.
Thanks, Ben. We appreciate that.
All right. Anyway,
I'm making a point. No, but my point being is that the culture seems to be something in Miami that just is. It's like a blueprint. Like, all these players come in, and maybe not in a Yankees kind of way, but. Anthony made the point, like, you know, players every Monday at the weigh-in with the Heat. The Sixers are in a situation where, you know, Pat Riley and his system, where they're more, this is more Brett Brown system because he's been the longest mainstay in the organization. Do they suffer from a situation where they don't have as much structure that, like, with Brett, and he likened it to the fact that sometimes when a teacher comes in, you can't go from being nice and then be mean later. You gotta kind of be mean and then back it down maybe a little bit, where there seems to be more of less discipline in some areas for the Sixers team as it goes compared to a Miami organization.
I think this is like a really next level complicated conversation. I will say this, the reason why Miami is always good and doesn't go away,
Pat Riley,
it's because of freaking Pat Riley.
Right.
Same thing with San Antonio because of Greg Popovich. I mean, they are run by two of the greatest figureheads in basketball ever. Like, mm-hmm. These are guys, these are like Mount Rushmore kind of guys. You know what I mean? Like, these are unbelievable. Like, Brett Brown, I think, is a pretty good coach, but he's not freaking Pat Riley.
Right.
He's not Greg Popovich. I mean, he's been a head coach for 7 years.
But so, he's had the
and also there's been,
imprint of the culture, like
right.
To imprint the culture.
I'm getting there,
you know?
Though. I'm getting there, though. So he's had 7 years as a head coach to kind of stake that claim.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Riley's been around forever. Greg Popovich has been around forever. Like, these guys have had time to kind of build it and be that. Not only that, they've had stability, whereas, like, what stability has Brett Brown had above him?
But I feel
he's
like
he's had none. But he's had none. He's had Sam Hinkie. And the NBA made that go away. Then he had Colangelo, and Colangelo did what he did and all right. That mess. So what stability has Brett Brown had above him? And then factor all that in, you're relying on a team whose two best players are 25 and 23 years old.
But they've all had those players that they've attached their success to, like Magic Johnson and Pat Riley. You mentioned Popovich and Tim Duncan.
But Pat Riley had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the peak of his powers. He doesn't have – Brett Brown didn't have – like, say Joel Embiid is still 25 years old and still figuring stuff out. Like, he's not where Kareem was when Pat Riley had Kareem. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not there. They're not – these guys are not at those – like, all those other – even Popovich had Dave freaking Robinson.
Phil Jackson would be a good comparison because – he had a young Jordan.
But
as,
he took Jordan after Doug Collins already had him.
Well,
and when after Michael Jordan had already gone through his growing pains, that's when he got Michael Jordan.
That's actually a good – it actually segued. Ty Johnson brought that point up, that in the fourth season of Phil Jackson came in after Doug Collins had been there and took them to the Eastern Conference Finals in that fourth
right.
season. And same thing for I forget the other coach he named, but – in that fourth season, it was Kobe and Shaq because Del Harris had
right.
coached them, and then here comes Phil Jackson. And it's kind of like.
And again, Shaquille O'Neal at the absolute peak of his powers. He was unstoppable at that point.
But Joel and Ben together for what, this three, this would be the fourth season that they would be.
This season right now is their third season.
Right. No, I'm saying upcoming will be their fourth season. So in his mind, the Del Harris comparison where he coached Kobe and Shaq and then a new coach came in and then Phil Jackson coached.
Yeah.
I mean, Doug Collins coached and a new coach came. And then this.
No, it's not. Listen, it's very.
I just want to make sure you understand what I'm saying.
No. Yeah. If the Sixers don't get, like you said earlier, if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe even win, like, Brett Brown's not going to be here. It's just they're going to make a change. You would almost have to think that. I don't want to speak in, you know,
get
absolutes.
To the Eastern Conference Finals, okay.
Well, they have to do better than what they've done.
Yeah.
They've made the second round the last 2 years.
Of course.
They have to do better.
Right.
If they don't get past the second round this year, something's got to give. And whether it's fair, whether it's his fault, whatever, that to me seems to be Brett would be the first domino to fall because – it would have to be Brett first. You're not the owner, like the Josh Harris. They love Elton Brand. Elton Brand is their guy. They handpicked him. He is their GM. So I don't think Elton Brand's in a hurry to fire Brett Brown, but I think something's going to have to give if they don't get further than where they were. And to what Ty was talking about, yeah, that maybe that is the case. Maybe Brett Brown won't be the guy who is on that, it gets them to the next level that maybe he is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead it's better to have that stability. Maybe you'd prefer to have Brett Brown around for an eighth year to keep building his culture. I don't think it's this big, like there's like this picture painted that the Sixers are this completely disheveled, undisciplined mess, and I just don't necessarily see that.
I wasn't trying to say that.
I'm just saying in general. I'm not putting that on you. I'm saying in general that people have this view of like the Sixers being this mess, and I don't, and if anything, I don't think that mess is from Brett. Again, it speaks to the culture above Brett.
You know what it is? I think you get that perception because Joel had his issues with the nutrition and the Shirley Temple thing, you know, with the food going bad in his refrigerator and that whole.
But that's the point too, though. The food went bad.
Yeah.
Because they tried. Mm-hmm. They tried to do stuff for him. They tried to say, here's a person. It's up to him. At the end of the day, it's up to both of those guys to get themselves to the next level. Brett Brown, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, whoever, can only do so much. It's going to be on the, like.
You had the Ben thing with Ben and the reluctance to shoot. Like, you add that in with.
But again, would Phil Jackson come here and magically Ben Simmons would be shooting the ball? No, like it's not like that.
I think that's the argument that people make is that with different coaches, you might get a different result. I made the analogy, which was Anthony Gilbert's analogy about the teacher being, you know, mean at first and then backing it down and being nicer later, as opposed to being nice first and then trying to be mean later as a way to get results. So if you had Greg Popovich, who was, you know, definitely a player's coach, a guy, Pat Riley, definitely a player's owner, a player's GM, a player's coach. So you have, but they still have a certain level of, I don't know what you want to call it, respect. It's not respect, because I know the players respect Brett. Reverence or something is right. So there's a different approach you see where they're stoic and there's the hardness, or I'm not finding the right word. I want to describe that adjective right there, but I think you see what I'm saying. Like, it's just so that's just the counter argument to that. But
I don't see the coach that, first of all, Ben Simmons is evolving. I mean, he's worked on a shot. He's over 73% from the free throw line over his last 11 games.
How beautiful is that?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is an evolution. He is getting better. He's taken and made two threes this year. So it's not like it's just dormant. It's to a point now where you're not going to probably want him to do it. I mean, maybe he does, but you're probably not going to want him to incorporate that with 27 games left in the season. If he does, great. If he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But I don't think there is a coach that would magically come in here and Joel Embiid is going to be, you know,
svelte and
exactly. Like, there's not that's not going to happen. I don't know what coach would do like that. Doesn't exist in 2020. Like, that's not a thing. Like, I get it. Yeah, Pat Riley runs a tight ship. And
well,
it's also because it is Pat Riley, because Pat Riley can do that. Not every organization can do that.
I think it's like when you're a part of creating the tight ship as opposed to joining a ship that's already tight.
But then look at it like this. The adverse thing, the devil's advocate thing would be, look what happened to John Beilein. He thought he was going to come in and set a culture and run a tight ship. How'd that work out?
He's also like 70 years old.
Like, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's my grass isn't always greener thing,
right,
though.
Right.
Because, like, what, you're not going to get Phil Jackson. You're not going to get Greg Popovich. You're not going to get Pat Riley. So who are you going to get that's going to come in and do that and be that guy, be that guy to steward that culture?
What
I don't
do you
see that guy out
what,
there.
We just for which I guess apples to apples, maybe not apples to apples, but with Brad Stevens and what he's been able to establish, obviously, a good comparison because he's gotten the best of Brett several times in the postseason. What do you see? What do you think he's been able to do that Brett wasn't able to do? I guess the tanking obviously kind of changes the tenor of it, but what do you think?
I mean, it's just also the fit. I think it's first of all, with all due respect to Brad Stevens, what have they won?
Nothing.
They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals one year and they beat the Sixers. Fair enough. They bested the Sixers. But I think Brad Stevens is a very good coach.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, what has Brad Stevens done as far as, like, he hasn't won a title. He hasn't gotten this team to the finals. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't really see anything that makes him puts
you don't
him
see
in
anything
that
worth great, comparing there.
Doesn't put him in like the Greg Popovich, Pat Riley category. Like, he's a good coach.
That.
But that's what my point is, just I don't see what thing he's done, or like what would he, if he was here, Ben Simmons wouldn't magically be taking shots and Joel Embiid wouldn't magically be in shape. I think we're making this big argument when again in reality this all comes down to those two guys wanting to be great and wanting to take their games to the next level. It is on them, no matter who the coach is, it is on them to do it.
Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates. To reach new heights in your field, WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. We're running out of time here on the Sixers Talk podcast because I actually have to. Paul wants to probably go home. I have to go do some
stuff. I
got
some
other commitments. Are you still writing?
Dating. I'm always writing.
Okay. Would you be upset?
Never.
How would it reflect on the Sixers organization if Miami and Jimmy Butler reached a further place in the postseason than them?
Wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be great. I mean, it is, you have to look at it for what it is. Jimmy Butler left. He went to a team that had, what you would perceive to be less talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he took them further than the Sixers. It's not a good look. It looks really bad. And that's why. If it goes down that way, something's going to change. Heads are going to roll, and that's just the reality of the situation. It's not. A lot of credit goes to Jimmy for doing that. Yeah. Also, the way that team is built. Let's do this too. They built that team around Jimmy. Are the Sixers optimally built around Ben and Joe? You could argue that they are not.
Best player available has been their approach.
Yeah. Not even that. Elton Brand built this team predicated on defense. That's
right.
What he wanted. He wanted a defensive monster. It's what he wanted. Whereas those two players offensively need to be surrounded by shooters. So you're sacrificing that
to be
a defensive juggernaut, which so far hasn't necessarily worked out. Maybe in the playoffs it will. Maybe in the playoffs when they're grinding teams out and they're winning games 95-90, maybe we'll have a different view of that. But right now, the way it looks offensively and it looks so ugly, and that's again why I think this Al Horford change is going to be so big for them down the stretch, because I think it's going to make their offense so much better, and trying to separate Al and Joe as much as you can, I think, is going to be the best move for both guys in the long run. So it would be troubling for sure if Jimmy Butler goes further than the Sixers. That would be very troubling.
Knock the Sixers out in the first round and reach the conference
finals.
That
would be a problem.
The pain, the angst. There was anything asked of Brett Brown and how he felt at practice today about how he felt about Joel being on the floor for that fourth quarter of the All-Star game for so long?
No, I mean, I think if anything, Brett was encouraged. Like, he just said he looked good.
Did you have a problem with that?
No. Well, who cares?
He was laboring. I mean, he looked unstoppable for a good stretch there.
And you could tell he was getting a little. But I think they were all kind of looking a little tired, to be honest with you. I think everyone on the floor looked tired.
Right.
So the fact that he was still hanging, I think, is anything. It's encouraging that he's in pretty good shape and that he's in. I mean, and look, he looked good in, again, that Clippers game. He looked good in that game. He was running the floor. He was beating Zubac down the other end and getting early post-up position. So it wasn't like this was, oh, he just saved it for the All-Star game or anything like that. No, he looked good before that. So,
and considering a couple weeks ago, we didn't even think he was going to play in the All-Star game.
No, yeah. or before it. I thought with for sure he'd be sitting out. Which, by the way, no more splint, and that is going to be the case. Just buddy taped.
Just buddy taped for Joel's fingers. Fingers
taped together.
So
for those who don't know.
His fingers will be taped together, no splint.
No splint. Done with the splint.
Okay.
Hand surgeon approved.
All right. Well, that's important information we'd like to relay to you, our listeners here at the Sixers Talk podcast.
That was the only injury update, by the way, from practice. So talk about positives.
No hamstrings for
Josh Richardson. Said he feels good.
Okay. It's been both of those hamstrings this season. So
he
let's hope
good in the fourth quarter against the Clippers. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, 17 points for sure. Website, what's going on?
So we have a couple things up just on Ben and Joe, and more in depth about what I asked Brett about with the snug action and them kind of looking for each other more. And Tobias Harris actually had a really good quote about them and how, you know, the players on the team also recognize these guys are – these are – everything begins and ends with them. They are the catalyst, and they're going to go as far as those guys are going to lead them. And then Noah has a couple good things about Al Horford and him accepting his role and what their Sixers rotation might look like. Also more stuff on Joel in the hand. And also one more note I want to point out that the Sixers, the game against Brooklyn is Pride Night.
Okay.
So just a pretty cool cause. I mean, I myself am I know a lot of people, so I'm a very big advocate for that. So I think it's awesome the Sixers are doing that. All sports organizations, I love when they do stuff like that because I think it's cool. All that, you know, everything that supports inclusion and equality is awesome. So.
Yeah, much love to the LGBTQ community.
Very cool that the Sixers are doing that. So,
Are Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, Steve Graham and Ben Barry? Is that? Oh, you're right. Ben Barry, we appreciate you as always. And this guy goes D-Generation X. We love you, listeners. Thank you. Continue to subscribe and comment, and make sure you tune into our next podcast. And subscribe to the Flyers Pod.
Jordan Hall.
Jordan Hall. And Katie Emmer.
I mean, Katie's okay, but Jordan Hall.
Just my guy.
Sorry. She's not going to listen to the podcast. We're fine.
That was
it. But Jordan's our guy.
Yeah, Katie's Jordan very nice. Yeah,
Jordan is the sweetest human being and the hardest working human being I've ever come across.
I met Jordan's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah, he works for the Phillies. Yeah. I think he does their travel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're opposites, but they look the same. It's like
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like Jordan has the scruff sometimes, but he's like all slicked back. Yeah. His brother and good dude though. He was nice, and I was just telling him how much we love Jordan. I don't think he got it.
I don't think there are no words that you could put into that could describe the beauty of the human being.
The legend of Jordan Hall.
My goodness.
Yeah, great guy.
What a gem.
Absolutely. I concur with all those thoughts. But thank you for listening to Sixers Talk Podcast brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. We will see you next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.